From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. Lawmakers in California are set to vote today on a budget measure that would close the state's $19 billion deficit by cutting the pay of state employees, selling some state-owned buildings, and reducing funding for public schools. The deal comes after months of political wrangling, but California's Comptroller's Office says the state may still have to issue IOUs later this year rather than paying some bills on time. Scott Schaefer of member station KQED says word of the budget deal came as the state's largest public employees union announced it has tentatively agreed to a rollback of lucrative pensions.
The agreement calls for current employees to kick in an additional 3% of their salaries toward pensions. New workers would also feel a rollback of generous pension formulas negotiated 11 years ago during the dot-com boom. Another key provision would end the practice of basing lifelong pensions on pay hikes given in the last year of public service. The deal would protect state workers from temporarily getting paid minimum wage during budget stalemates. It still requires approval from the state legislature and the employee union. For NPR News, I'm Scott Schaefer in San Francisco.
The toxic sludge that spilled from an industrial plant in Hungary is now oozing into a branch of the Danube River, Europe's second longest waterway, and countries downstream have stepped up their monitoring. Hungarian workers have been shoveling away the red slurry that swept through three villages. The toxic sludge is being blamed for four deaths and more than 150 injuries. Peruvian writer Mario Vargas Llosa is the winner of this year's Nobel Prize in Literature. NPR's Paul Brown reports Vargas Llosa is being honored for his powerful images of individual resistance, revolt, and defeat.
Vargas Llosa's work ranges from journalism to essays to novels and plays. His first novel of more than 30, The Time of the Hero of 1963, was also his international breakthrough work. It's set among cadets at a Peruvian military school of the type Vargas Llosa attended, forced there by a father who disapproved of his son's writing poetry. Military officials burned copies of the book. Other standout novels include Conversation in the Cathedral and The Green House, about a brothel and its impact on the novel's characters. Politically, Vargas Llosa, who is 74, has moved from the left to the right over the years. He was once a supporter of the Cuban Communist Revolution. He ran for president of Peru in 1990 and lost on a conservative economic austerity platform. Paul Brown, NPR News.
New claims for unemployment benefits have declined about 2%, dropping last week for the fourth time in the past 5 weeks. Although new claims edge down, the number of people filing for jobless benefits remains high, as does the nation's unemployment rate. The government releases unemployment figures for September tomorrow. Stocks are modestly lower on Wall Street at this hour. The Dow down 17 points. The Nasdaq is off 4. This is NPR News. The Justice Department is investigating reports that some of the nation's top mortgage lenders have been foreclosing on homes and evicting families using flawed documents. At least three major banks have halted eviction proceedings while they look into the problem. A strike by port workers in France is now in its 11th day. Eleanor Beardsley reports the job action threatens to idle six refineries in that country.
Footage of dozens of crude oil tankers waiting outside the port of Marseille makes the French television news every night. The strike is blocking the entrance to oil refinery terminals near the port. The conflict first erupted over a port privatization plan and escalated as part of nationwide protests against President Nicolas Sarkozy's pension reform. Come October 12th, French port, refinery, railway, and subway workers will all strike in national protests against the government's pension reform. There is strong resistance to the government's plans to raise the legal retirement age from 60 to 62. For NPR News, I'm Eleanor Beardsley in Paris.
Facebook has opened up a new feature allowing users to interact with small groups of people and share information and postings only with them rather than their larger list of friends. Karen Morris, a student at Florida International University, says she uses Facebook to stay in contact with her closest friends.
With my friends and everything, like, it's how I keep in contact, so I guess it is important.
Facebook is hoping the new Groups feature will give users more control over who sees what and will encourage them to upload more material to the social networking site. But some privacy advocates are concerned that Facebook might sell or provide that information to marketing firms who use it to fine-tune advertising pitches to individual Facebook users. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News in Washington.
Support for